I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's show will be jam-packed with information, as usual. Lots of cutting-edge information related to a first contact scenario connecting with Pleiadians. We'll be talking about the activities on the moon and human colonies there. We'll also be talking about a time when the moon didn't exist in the sky. And clearly there'll be some new information regarding the Ascension and updated information there. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa Yoga, which is mantra repetition. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Sachidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari.
Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Hari Om
Shanti.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my spiritual teachers, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to now give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you. And also invite you to email me at any time concerning questions that you may have related to program content presented on this show. There's no strings attached for this. If you email me, you're going to get a reply, and I'll do the best I can to give you the information that you require. And you can email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. I might also add that sometimes information comes pretty quickly on this program. And if you'd like to take your time looking over certain aspects of the program, you can always get the archives to ET Yoga at no cost and no strings attached. Free service, an easy way to get into those archives. You can probably find your way to them just from the BBS radio site, but you can also go to my website at etyoga.com. And on the main page, there's a button there called Radio Archives. You just hit that one button and it'll take you to the most recent programs, as well as going back 14 years. But it's available. And usually the archive from a Saturday broadcast will come out at the latest Tuesday sometime. And many of listeners have emailed me to say they much appreciate that service. I'd like to, at this point, give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And as you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical, mainstream media, big pharma, and technology as much as humanly possible given your particular circumstances. And I've been saying this for a lot of years now, so it wasn't just because of the current crisis. Now, in preparing for tonight's program, a number of issues kind of cross-connected. And I guess the first real big piece of information that I want to share is related to the ascension process. And that news is that there is a unique timeline for star seeds. And I think it's very important for those people that are involved with the ascension to know about that. And this is primarily a portal that originates through the Lionsgate portal. And the Lionsgate portal is a direct path to 5D Earth. And a very, very good way to connect with that timeline is at YouTube. There's a guy named Steve Noble, N-O-B-E-L, and he's got some amazing videos there that you can tune into that help you in a number of areas. And one of those is to help you connect with that unique timeline. And as well, I think that it's important to let go of the past. And this is advice that used to come from Dolores Cannon. and clearing the past lives, your current life, and clearing negative energy from all your other lifetimes is also a part and parcel of the Steve Noble meditations. And this is very, very important because, as Dolores Cannon suggested, the two main things you want to do is to let go of the past and not be in fear, because these negative emotions are not compatible with 5D energy. And also, it's very important that you break all contracts in this lifetime and all other lifetimes that you've made. And trust me, we all have made these contracts. And in fact, you can't even live on this planet without having a contract. Everybody has a soul contract. The powers that be have made it that way. And so when you're coming into this planet, incarnating even from somewhere else, you have a soul contract, and sometimes there's some fine print put in that soul contract that you don't want any part of. And especially when you're looking at trying to get yourself out of here in the ascension process. So breaking all contracts is very important stuff. And interesting to note, I think, that I was listening to a program with Alex Collier. And if you don't know about Alex Collier, C-O-L-L-I-E-R, he's an Andromedan contactee, and talks a little bit about how actually humans are royalty, at least considered royalty by the Andromedans and other ET races. And one of the reasons for that is our DNA contains the history of 22 different extraterrestrial races, which comprise our full component of DNA, our 12 chakra system and our 12 strands of DNA that were put together. And at one point in time, we had these fully functioning. Now, since that time, we've been limited to, for the most part, a two-stranded DNA, although I think even science now is admitting that there's some kids now born with three strands. But the point is that we have amazing, amazing possibility and creative power. In fact, he talks about the fact that at the moment there have been identified 11 different dimensions. And there's a group of beings called the Patal, which basically put together the system of stargates and created a lot of the physical material world that was not replicated by AI. And these original Patal are also called founders. We also have a connection with their DNA. And as the story goes, Enki, one of the Anunnaki, actually tinkered a little bit because he was very compassionate towards the human humanity that was manipulated by the Anunnaki, and slipped some Patal DNA in with the human experiment that was going on at the time. And this is something that the Alpha Draconians are really they're afraid of, because of the immense power of and potential of people that are connected with this Patal DNA. And in fact, Collier thinks that the significance of the 144,000 is that there's probably 144,000 Earth beings that are connected to the Patal. And I might also add that in those Steve Noble meditations, they're just beautiful, and they help. You could connect with some archangels that do help with identifying negative AI programming and neutralizing it and disassembling it outside your energy field. And to me, the best way to try to eliminate nano from your system is very difficult to eliminate nano. And of course, if you're doing any kind of research now, you'll know that these jabs are full of nano. And we've also been sprayed with nano through the chemtrails, etc. Nano's in all kinds of vaccines. So, you know, it's an issue, and everybody has a bit of nano. So, just from that standpoint alone, it's a good thing to find the right meditations among the Steve Noble. I also highly recommend Solara on Ra. That's the Solara Anra. Solara on Ra. She channels Pleiadian information related to the ascension process as well, as you can find on YouTube. And the big point, I guess, is that this is all about self-worth and deservability. Self-worth, not net worth. And of course, to be successful at any project or situation, you need to have a certain amount of deservability. And even Bashar has stated that there's only a minimal amount of spiritual progress that person can make without a feeling of deservability. And in point of fact, that everybody is unconditionally loved by source energy, but sometimes I appreciate that it's hard to feel that. And but I think that if you asked a number of people, you know, what's your status with self-worth, they all say, oh, everything's really good. But I would highly suggest that people spend even half an hour or an hour focusing on your own feelings of deservability and looking over your life to see if you can isolate victimhood situations, because victimhood's really tricky. And I think pretty much everybody on the planet has a certain amount of victimhood. If you think about it, you know, this is a prison planet. And unfortunately, this victimhood, it's very stealthy, and a lot of people just can't handle success because they keep sabotaging themselves left, right, and center. And it's related to the deservability and this victimhood. And also, signposts of victimhood are to be complaining, blaming, and justifying your circumstances. These are all signposts of victimhood thinking. And I think another, obviously two very positive things that I guess initially you don't have a lot of control over, but the initial love from your original parents is highly influencing your deservability. And as opposed to blaming and complaining all the time, I think the process here is to tell a positive story about your life. And I try to think of it as like, I give great thanks, appreciation, and gratitude for this wonderful life and wonderful body. And this is at least a positive affirmation as opposed to one of negativity. Interestingly enough, as we go through the experience of being on the planet, I think those that have eyes to see can see that we are kind of, you know, in the middle of a genocide of the human population. And it's not to be negative, it's just a statement of fact. And a lot of people haven't woken up to that fact. So it's an interesting time and definitely a challenging time for everybody. My personal advice would be the focus needs to be on things like keeping yourself healthy, doing the right things about increasing the strength of your immune system, being focused about safety and survival, frankly. And as I look down the road here, I can see that about a year from now, a lot of these people that are experiencing the jab not only are going to be moving on to other things and other lifetimes, but they're also, because of the prions that are in these shots, because they're produced by the spike protein, there's going to be a lot of spreading and shedding of this issue. And not only are billions going to be dying, but they're going to be spreading this stuff. And my opinion is that as I hear it, I'm not involved with social media, so I don't know, but I understand that there's lots of communities that are starting up. People are starting to gather together. And I do listen occasionally to the dark side information, and even the dark side in their computer analysis believe that the people that mostly will be surviving this mess and having an opportunity for the ascension process will be living outside of big cities. So if you have the opportunity to be involved in one of these communities, I highly suggest you do that. Sometime, I think, between now and next year at this time, the cities will not be a place to be, big cities in particular. Because of the amount of people dying, the amount of pressure on the hospitals to deal with those that are sick, the spreading of the and shedding of this issue, it's, and to my way of thinking, they're planning on lots of lockdowns in different countries around the world. Another lockdown, in my opinion, would just totally devastate the financial system. So I look at videos right now in places like South Africa, where they're lined up for miles to get food. And at the end of the line, maybe there's a jab at the before you receive it too. I don't know. But definitely, you don't want to be placing yourself in a situation where you're dependent on the system, because they'll have conditions for anything that they're handing out. In my opinion, and maybe it's just a negative projection, you can call it what you like, but my opinion is, I look down the road a year from now, the same as what Cliff High has predicted, that this shedding, and he calls it shedding of the woo, and that's Cliff High. You can check him out in his YouTubes. He's not always accurate with his end predictions, but he's pretty good at the first part, getting a number of points correct. And I think that we're looking at definitely a time when self-sufficient communities are can be very fun and a way to connect with people. And even the dark side thinks that the people who survive this mess will be in smaller communities, self-sufficient. And they're even making plans already to how to deal with that, because at that point they want to send in drones and spray them and this kind of stuff. But that's way down the road. So bottom line is, I definitely wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your success in navigating your way through this chaos. And I want to move on to another topic related to the moon. And I think it's a really fascinating title here. that according to numerous ancient accounts, there was a time when the moon did not exist in the sky. And in ancient writings and traditions, one can find proof of a time when the moon did not exist. Democritus and Anaxagoras, and by the way, if you're not familiar with that word Anaxagoras, Anaxagoras was the teacher of Socrates. And these two mentioned that there was a time when no moon could be seen in the night skies. In describing the history of the Greek region of Arcadia, Aristotle writes that the Pelasgians lived in the area since very old times at a time when the moon did not exist. And Apollonius from Rhodes mentions something similar. He talks about a time when not all of the celestial objects existed in the sky. Before the time of Deucalion's and Pyrrha's generation, and this is what they call before the cataclysm, when the moon did not exist and the only humans that existed were the Pelasgians living on the mountains of Arcadia, a region in Greece, and these inhabitants of Arcadia were also known as Proselenes, meaning those that were born before the moon in Greek. And in Plutarch's work, which is called Morals, we find the following. There were Arcadians of Evander's following the so-called pre-lunar people. And similarly, Ovid wrote, the Arcadians are said to have possessed their land before the birth of Zeus, and the folk is older than the moon. Stephanus of Byzantium wrote, Arcadians and females both exist before the moon. Hippolytus refers to a legend that Arcadia brought forth Pelagus of greater antiquity than the moon. Lucianus, in his astrology, says that the Arcadians affirm in their folly that they are older than the moon. Evidence has also been found in other parts of the world. In Bolivia, symbols on the wall of the courtyard of Calasaya, built in 13,000 BC, provide evidence that the moon came into orbit around the Earth at a specific moment in time thousands of years ago, long before what mainstream historians refer to as recorded history. Moreover, the calendar gate in the same site provides evidence that a smaller satellite once rotated around the Earth. The oral traditions of Colombian Indians of the Bogota Highlands in the eastern Cordilleras of Colombia refer to a time before the moon. In the earliest times when the moon was not yet in the heavens, say the tribesmen of Chibacas. Africa also provides its own evidence. According to Zulu legend, the moon was brought hundreds of generations ago by two brothers of alien form, Wolwane and Mpanku. Well, what does this all mean? The ancient memory of an earth inhabited by humans without a moon has passed from generations to generations, forming the traditions of numerous civilizations. How did the moon get there? And the period when the earth was moonless is probably the most remote recollection of mankind. Democritus and Anaxagoras taught that there was a time when the earth was without a moon. Aristotle wrote that Arcadia in Greece, before being inhabited by the Hellenes, had a population of Pelasgians, and that these aborigines occupied the land already before there was a moon in the sky above the earth. For this reason, they were called Proselenes. Apollonius of Rhodes mentioned a time when not all of the orbs were yet in the heavens before the Danai and Deucalion races came into existence and only the Arcadians lived, of whom it is said that they dwelt on mountains and fed on acorns before there was a moon. And Plutarch wrote in the Roman Questions, there were Arcadians of Evander's following the so-called prelunar people. Similarly wrote Ovid, the Arcadians are said to have possessed their land before the birth of Jove, and the folk is older than the moon. Hippolytus refers to a legend that Arcadia brought forth Pelasgus of greater antiquity than the moon. And Lucian, in his astrology, says that the Arcadian affirm in their folly that they are older than the moon. Cincerinus also alludes to the time in the past when there was no moon in the sky. Some allusions to the time before there was a moon may be found also in the scriptures. In Job 25:5, the grandeur of the Lord who makes peace in the heights is praised, and the time is mentioned before there was a moon, and it did not shine. Also in Psalm 72:5, it is said, "Thou wast feared since the time of the sun, and before the time of the moon, a generation of generations." A generation of generations means a very long time. Of course, it isn't no use to counter this psalm with the myth of the first chapter of Genesis, a tale brought down from exotic and later sources. The memory of a world without a moon lives in oral tradition among the Indians of the Bogota Highlands and the Eastern Cordilleras of Colombia relate some of their tribal reminiscences to the time before there was a moon. And in the earliest times, when the moon was not yet in the heavens, say the tribesmen of the Chibacas. Now, there are currently lots of theories about the moon, and the article I'm referring to lists three, but I'm going to mention one that likely would not cross their possibility list. And according to the ETs, the moon was brought here. And there's a specific sun and star system that it was brought from. And I believe that it was in the Orion constellation. I'll double check that and try to bring up that information on a future program. But we're getting lots of information from ETs that the moon is an artificial construct. And that there are clearly several ET races that operate from the moon, and also that the moon has been used as one of the main catalysts to keep humanity in two-strand DNA. And because of energies that were sent from Saturn to the moon, then transmitted to the Earth, keeps us in a certain frequency range. And this is another one of the downsides of technology, because and it's very easy to spread that frequency range through things like television. And no matter how aware you think you are, television is definitely the main brainwashing tool on the planet. And even if you're listening to a New Age show, there's still a frequency and that keeps you locked in a certain range. Limits your creativity. The Pleiadians have suggested from way back in the 1970s with Barbara Marciniak's Bringers of the Dawn, the best thing humanity can do is get rid of your television sets, because it's the main tool for brainwashing. And the subliminals that are sent there as well, that it would probably be illegal to prove, are just totally devastating in many ways, including the ability to spread disease via the television. So, you know, I don't have a television, so dumped it about 20 years ago. So I'm just saying, and I know more and more people that think that way, but we can see that the vast majority don't. In fact, speaking of the vast majority, related to the concept of the Pleiadians, I've recently done a study of the Earth related to a first contact scenario. And they used to have like hundreds of ships in close to near orbit of the Earth. And two specific Pleiadians, Swaru and Alinka, are the only remaining, apparently, Pleiadian ship that's in orbit around the Earth. And in their study over the last, since 2016 until current time, they're trying to assess the possibility of a first contact scenario, which in the end result, they have decided that the Earth is not ready for a first contact scenario. Not surprising, since even Bashar had mentioned that he thought first contact would come from the Shalanaya, who in Asasani terms is called those who come first, and the Shalanaya call themselves the Yael. The Yael, you know, have arrived. They were the craft that crossed Arizona, and commonly known as the Phoenix Lights. I think it was 1989. I could be wrong on the date. But the point is that they're looking at the possibility of, you know, first contact. And although they appreciate that there are a lot of humans that are ready for first contact, the vast majority just aren't. In fact, I guess the downside news is that something that was a little surprising to me, but does make sense, that as much as we've been victimized by the Alpha Draconians and the Greys, and they basically feel that at the core of this issue is the Earth people themselves, and they're generating their victimhood. And it does make sense if you think about it, that the outer world's a reflection of our thoughts, beliefs, intentions, definitions, etc. And it's not, we're apparently the primary cause of our own demise, let's say. And I always thought there would be a case could be made because of the total manipulation from early times, you know, the total control of the banking system by the dark side or cabal forces, and representative of the Draco here, the creation of religious dogma, which is primarily BS. Religions were all created by Anunnaki for control. So the bottom line here to me is I always thought that, you know, it was more the perpetrators of the situation, the negative forces, the negative ETs, particularly the Alpha Draconians, Anunnaki, and Gray influence here. But I guess, as it turns out from the study, and probably truth is, that we're the primary problem. And this, again, relates back to that old concept of deservability and self-worth and all the rest of it, because as much as we don't want to admit, it's easier to blame somebody else. The bottom line is it's kind of in our lap. And we're going to see, I guess, if humanity's got enough jam to provide enough pushback to this current agenda, because if not, not going to be very many people left. There's at least over 1 billion people have been inoculated now, as I understand it, and the numbers are growing. So that's the unfortunate news there related to the Pleiadian assessment of the Earth's humanity at this time. And I do know that even though there are there's still ETs, and including Pleiadians, that are doing things to help us. Behind the scenes, a lot's going on. And but at the same time, I do know that there are lots of star races that refuse to get involved with the Earth situation, because they can appreciate that what 7 billion people, if they, you know, have turned over control to, you know, a handful of full of psychopathic morons, then I don't know. They don't want to get involved because it doesn't make any sense. Another interesting topic that came across in the last little while was an article about a retired U.S. Marine who claims he spent 15 years in space and on Mars protecting 5 human colonies. And, you know, this is consistent with information that I used to listen to from James Rink on Super Soldier Talk. And there's still quite a few Super Soldier Talk videos that are available out there, but the last 3 have been censored or have been no censored and wiped out. So you can't find them anymore. There's no new information coming from Super Soldier Talk that I can find. So I guess he's been given a hoof from YouTube. And there's lots of guys that have come forward saying that they were part of the secret space program and had done stints on Mars. And interestingly, Dr. John Brandenburg believes that an old Martian civilization was wiped from the face of Mars in the distant past. Dr. John Brandenburg has a PhD in theoretical plasma physics from the University of California at Davis, and he's currently working as a plasma physicist at Orbital Technologies in Madison, Wisconsin. According to Dr. John Brandenburg, there is enough evidence to prove that at least two major nuclear blasts went off on the surface of the Red Planet in the distant past. And the theory proposed by Dr. Brandenburg is based on the traces of uranium and thorium that have been registered on the surface of Mars. This Martian civilization was wiped out by another hostile alien race from elsewhere in the universe. Dr. Brandenburg warns that our civilization could face the same fate. After studying the Red Planet for decades, scientists admit that there's a great possibility that an impact of an asteroid or comet altered the face of the Red Planet. But now, given the traces of radioactive elements on the surface of the Red Planet, researchers believe that this was due to a nuclear blast. And a rectangular monolith was also observed on Mars's moon Phobos. From what I understand about monoliths, there's some fake monoliths that are around, but real monoliths appear almost anywhere. They're sort of an anomaly in the physical world, and they come from source, and there's no destroying them or moving them. They may come and go, but monoliths are really an amazing object. And according to Brandenburg, the high concentration of xenon-129 atmosphere, the evidence from krypton-80, and the detected pattern of excess abundance of uranium and thorium on Mars' surface relative to Mars meteorites, first seen by the Russians and now confirmed by the Mars Odessa spacecraft gamma ray spectrometer, mean that the surface of Mars was apparently the site of massive radiological events which created large amounts of signature isotopes and covered the surface with a thin layer of radioactive debris enriched in certain elements relative to its subsurface rocks. And this pattern of phenomena can be explained as due to two large anomalous nuclear explosions on Mars in the past. And the Mars Colony Corporation, MCC, which is basically a conglomerate of financial institutions, government, and tech companies. There's a guy named Randy Kramer who's come forth, and he says Kramer and his team were part of a special section of the United States Marines with a highly classified mission to protect and ensure the existence of five newly established colonies on the surface of the Red Planet. And the Earth Defense Force, another secret military branch, has military recruits from countries such as the United States, China, and Russia. Furthermore, Kramer states that his training took place on the moon, inside a secret base called LOC, or the Lunar Operations Command, on Saturn's moon Titan, and even in deep space. Not only do we have technology to get us to Saturn and outer space, Mars is a planet crawling with life, according to statements from the former Marine. According to Randy Kramer, the space fleet has technology far superior than anything available anywhere on Earth. The various ships have different propulsion systems, which allow the space fleet to reach the frontiers of our solar system with ease. According to Kramer, the propulsion systems use both fission and fusion-powered thrusters, Ward driver, and anti-gravity technology advancements that were facilitated to mankind by friendly gray aliens. And apparently, you know, if what he's telling it is true, parts of the testimony from Captain Kay are consistent with that of Michael Ralph, another whistleblower who claims to have served 20 years tour on the Red Planet. So, according to claims of Randy Kramer, initially now known under the pseudonym Captain Kay, not only have humans made it to Mars in the past, but we have developed a secret space program and flotilla that operates in space. It seems there are two versions that are being filtered to society when it comes to space, Mars, and classified files relating the two. The first is that we've not been to Mars, and there is a lot of work to be done, and our technology is still very limited. But Kramer and his team, according to him, were part of a special section of the United States Marines with a highly classified mission to protect and ensure the existence of five newly established colonies on the surface. So, interesting that, according to Kramer, he claims that there are two indigenous species inhabiting Mars, the reptilians and insectoids, both of them being very intelligent. The reptilians are a species much more aggressive, defending their territory at all costs, and the insectoids are equally intelligent and capable, but are more passive. While Captain K has no physical evidence to back up his claims, he says that he's doing everything he can to obtain highly classified documents which would prove what he's telling is true. Parts of the testimony from Captain K are consistent with that of Michael Ralph, R-E-L-F-E, another whistleblower who claims to have served 20 years tour on the Red Planet. And lots of other super soldiers also claim to have done tours, these 20-year tours, and then they regress their age back, and some have done multiple tours. So anyway, kind of food for thought. Interesting. Kind of fits in with my kind of version of what the world is, because it's not just you know, what you read in the mainstream news. And I think more people are wising up to the fact and not listening. Apparently, the readership's down, and even mainstream media is down probably 50%. So there's a lot of people waking up to the BS stories that we've been told, and it also relates back to Admiral William Tompkins and his testimonies that you can find at Rense.com, R-E-N-S-E.com. And his testimony that UFO technology has been around since, you know, the 1930s or 40s. And there's been spacecraft and bases on the moon and Mars and elsewhere for a long time. And this is part of all the what's commonly known as secret space program. Personally, I have no direct evidence of that, but yeah, my discernment for truth tells me that that is so. And there's plenty of physical evidence as presented by Admiral Tompkins to support that. And another, I think, probably an expert in this area is Project Camelot. It's Carrie Cassidy. She's been doing hundreds of interviews with the whistleblowers for the last 14 years, and there's lots of information there related to off-planet activities. So I hope that tonight's program gives you some, at least some food for thought, some areas to research, and ideas to explore. I really think by this time next year that hopefully you will explore through social medias ways to connect with current communities that are being formed. And I'd certainly like to give my best towards your success in connecting with those, and your success in attaining full consciousness, perfect health, abundance, and also connecting with the unique timeline that's for starseeds. And as part of the ascension process, check in to Steve Noble and Solara and Ra, and get connected. It's really a nice journey there There's even some really good ones with Solara on Ra related to you're connecting with the Ascension Grid and connecting with others, and they're sending energy to you. You're sending, receiving energy from them. So this is it can be a very exciting process, even though we're in the midst of a situation where the majority of the beings on this planet are wishing to experience a nightmare experience. I'd like to at this time share with you the Who Am I technique, which was originally came from Sri Ramana Maharshi. I picked it up through Baba Ram Das, and basically you put the your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then you can ask the question, who am I? And you can do that once or five times or whatever is comfortable. So the main point here is related to the question, who am I? You become that spot in the center of your forehead, and then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.